This is the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast with J. Gordon Duncan.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast with J. Gordon Duncan. And if you're wondering why the J, the answer is I am not a bagpipe player. And if that joke doesn't make any sense, I encourage you to check out episode 0, where I explain that joke, as well as the purpose of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast, where we talk about faith, family, fitness, finances, and sometimes fun. Well, friends, thanks so much for being with us. I have a friend with me who is just going to, I'm really looking forward to the opportunity for this conversation. And he's been great about bugging me because I talked about having him on and he's like, hey, where's that invite? So my friend today is Stavros Kaplinaris, and I'm going to give him a chance to introduce himself in a moment. But aside from his accomplishments and aside from his position, Stavros has been a good friend. He's also been just a leader in serving the community. So, Stavros, thanks so much for being here.
No, thank you. The pleasure is all mine. I'm just happy I got my invite.
Yeah, man, I know. I feel so bad. So, no, Stavros, if you don't mind, take a second and just introduce yourself to everyone.
Well, Stavros Kaplinaris. I am the executive manager at East Tennessee Nissan in Morristown, Tennessee. I have been in the automotive industry for a little over 19 years. Started at the bottom as a part-time salesperson, and I have worked my way up through the ranks, learned a tremendous amount, different things. And the interesting thing was the way I thought my career should have been was not the actual way. And I actually had to completely change my path a couple of years ago. And it was because of my better half that she different light of things. And I'm like, okay, time to start all over again, which has been crazy.
Well, Stavros' wife is Dorothy, who might be in the background somewhere. And to let everyone know, Stavros and Dorothy are good friends of mine and Amy's. We love those guys to death. We're happy that they're in Tennessee. It's not where they originally were when we met them. But Stavros, let me share a funny story. Now, I was encouraged to call you for the very first time by Wendy at the Chamber. She's like, you got to call Stavros. And I called you and you immediately set up an appointment. You're like, yeah, come on in. It was like 10 a.m. one morning. And do you remember the first time I came and sat down with you in your office? Do you remember it all?
I can say vaguely.
So I walk in and I say, hi, I have an appointment with Stavros. And they're like, just wait one moment. And you came up, shook hands. We went and sat in the office. And then you said, I got to be honest with you. I have no idea. I do not remember why we are meeting. That's how our first meeting went. And I was like, well, I thought, well, here's the good thing that he kept the meeting. I know how busy you were. A lot of managers of dealerships that big and that kind of thing would have just said, hey, I don't have time. But you were like, listen, I'll be honest with you. I got no idea at all why we're meeting. And so I went into full pitch marketing and whole kind of thing. And then the first time I met Dorothy was, at, of course, the ribbon cutting and for the dealership. And she was a whirlwind, just full energy. I mean, you guys had 100, 200 people there. You had vendors, you had marching bands. I mean, it was, and she was running the whole show. So the great thing is just that, glad you took that meeting, despite not remembering me at all, because we might not have been friends. We might not have had that opportunity. But yeah, man, you were like, I got no idea. What do you got? And that's how it went from there.
It was probably because of your good looks. I mean, let's
is that what it is?
It was probably because of your good looks. I'm like, he looks like a good guy. I could probably have a conversation with him. Let's figure this out.
He's handsome. Well, it's Lebanese and Greek, right? It's all the diversity we brought to the table that day. And so I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, Stavros, tell me a little bit about that change of direction. Because I think that's the direction where I'd like to talk about. You saw your path going one way for your career, and then Dorothy helped it maybe go in another direction. Tell a little bit of that story.
So I had just transferred to grand open the largest Nissan dealership in the world in Rockwall, Texas. And going up to that, my entire world was, how do I make a dollar? All about the money. Forget everything else. I just want to make the money. How can I do this? And so forth. And I had this firecracker of a female walk into my life that became my wife. that she said, you're doing it wrong. I'm like, no, 17 years experience on this. I think I got this. She goes, no, you're doing it wrong.
Was she working and already? Was she working at the dealership?
I had just hired her.
Okay. Okay. All right.
is a higher other conversation. We can do a podcast. Auditing. But so we went through and had the conversation. She said, listen, if you want to be successful here, it's all about the relationship that you create with people in this community, because without the relationships with the community, you will fail. And I'm like, no, I just want to sell cars.
Right. Right.
If I could deal, come buy a car, and it completely changed. She goes, if you go after it that way, you will never be successful here. This community will take you down. Wow. Literally. And so I said, okay. I said, you're the expert. You've been in the chamber world. You've been in this building relationship world. Teach me, show me, let's go through and do this together. And we literally took off, and I learned that it's never about the sale. It's always about the relationship, because if you get the relationship, ultimately you're going to get the sale. But it was about serving. It was about giving back to the community, becoming friends with the community, local business leaders, local government officials, the local fire department, police department, the chamber, city officials. And I just began to grow my relationship with them. And ultimately, they're the ones that fed me, made everything I do succeed.
Well, now, that had to be a huge risk. I mean, you've got 17 years. I mean, obviously, I mean, I know that the average lifespan of salesmen is nowhere near that. I mean, we'll go less than 17 months, probably. So you've got all this experience, and you know how to do this. And then she says, you're doing it all wrong. Why did you take the chance on changing your approach?
Well, the reason I took a chance is because I knew that the store that I was going into had gone through a lot of challenges with the management there, the reputation, and so forth. And I knew that we were not well liked in the community at all. And I thought, you know what, we can try to sell cars and do it that way, but I think there's a little bit of validity to it if we were to go through and change the perception of the community that we could truly be successful. So it was a risk, but I've also learned that without any risk, there's no reward. So I said, if I still sell cars the way I sell cars, but I can fold in this entire new way of doing business, because selling cars is the same no matter what you do. It's the approach that you can change. Mm-hmm. So if I change my approach and I actually won over this community, because when I tell you that they had a bad reputation, it was bad.
Okay.
There were people that didn't want to do business with us, lenders that didn't want to do business, people that would drive 2 hours away from us to go to another Nissan dealership because they didn't want to go there because of what it had gone through. So I said, you know what? Let's go through and give this a shot. Let's see what we can do in the community. Let's see what we can go through and do with all the city officials and everyone. Let's try to turn this reputation around. And that's what we did.
Stavros, why do you think it is? There's a million sales positions. I mean, why is it that car sales has such a bad reputation? Because, I mean, it's not always deserved. I mean, but sales is sales. People have got to make sales. I mean, why is that the stereotypical, well, I don't want to be like a car salesman. Like, why is that?
Well, that's really a loaded question. But the reality is, We're right up there with lawyers and accountants. The car buying process could be the most stressful thing there, because they know, people know when you're coming in there, they're trying to make a commission off of you. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to sweet talk you. They're going to try to give you the best story. They're going to say, oh yeah, this car is like the greatest thing ever. And unfortunately, over the years, there's been a lot of lies and deceit and dishonest people that have been in it for the wrong reasons. Instead of helping people, they've actually hurt people in the process because they were more concerned about making that commission. That's right. Just like a lawyer, right? The unfortunate part about lawyers is that they have the reputation of prolonging cases, prolonging things, and charging extra fees. And, well, why settle today? Let's see if we can go an extra thing, because the longer they keep you along, the more money they're going to make. And the car dealership, the more they make you pay, the more money they're going to make. So it's always that battle, like, am I getting a good deal? Is this used car reliable? Because the customer is not just having to trust you, the salesperson. They have to trust the salesperson for doing the right thing and showing them the right car. They got to trust the finance manager to not take advantage of them in finance. They got to trust the sales manager not take advantage of them on the price. Then they got to trust a technician who inspected the car that you've never met, never seen, that they actually did a good job.
Right.
So that deck of cards is stacked against us. And we have to overcome all of those barriers. And unfortunately, some people do it for the wrong reasons.
Well, I want to definitely commend you for taking a change of approach. Because, I mean, ultimately, the dealership rises or falls on sales. I mean, you can be excited about the programs. Well, I mean, people don't have to do what you're doing to sell a car. I mean, some people are just really good at selling cars. How do you convince people that the approach that I've seen you take, and I've seen your how genuine you are, but how is it you convince people that that's legitimately what you care about, and not the sale first? Like, how do you overcome it?
Well, the interesting thing is I can tell my customers that if I don't feel that you can afford this car, I'm not going to sell you the car, even if you get approved. Mm-hmm. And that all throws them for a loop, because they're like, wait a second, you're here to sell a car and make money. If you don't sell a car, you don't make money. And I'm like, I understand that. I said, but at the same time, I am not going to sell you a car if I know that you can't afford it. And I've had people be upset with me over this. I've had people leave me and go to other stores and buy the car, but then they come back 3 months later like, Stavros, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm stuck. I need help. And I looked at him like, listen, I can't help you now because you didn't listen. Mm-hmm. So first start with that part of it. And then I'll just be completely transparent and honest. A lot of dealerships will go through and print out a worksheet that either shows just the payment without the numbers on how we got to that payment, or they'll print up a worksheet that shows all the numbers, but not give them a payment to show how they do it. They try to be deceiving. So, and in those situations, the salesperson doesn't care about the customer. Mm. They care about themselves. So I want to be different than the industry norm, so to speak, and say, listen, you want to know what you're going to buy? I'll give you a complete transparent list of all of the figures on the right-hand side. I'll give you all of your payments. I'll disclose the interest rate. I'll disclose the terms so that there's nothing on this paper that you have to question at the end of the day. And by doing that, it allows a customer to feel confident that they're getting the right thing. Not to mention, it's also the setup as well. Mm-hmm. My sales staff, I have told them flat out, if I catch you lying about anything, you will not be employed. Mm-hmm. If I even catch you misleading someone, you will not be employed. Mm-hmm. I don't run a dealership where people lie, cheat, or steal to make a profit. And because I don't do that, I have the right to ask more because my service is genuine and honest. And you're going to pay more because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to take care of you. Mm. That's why I've had people travel from Florida, from Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, Connecticut, to wherever I've been at to buy a car because they know. I've even had customers where I'll tell them, listen, the Nissan might not be the right car, but if you go to a Toyota store or a Honda store, call me. Tell me the numbers. I'll let you know if you're getting a good deal or not. And they're like, you're really going to do that? I'm like, yeah, I'll do that because I'd rather have the relationship now, because just because you don't like a Nissan doesn't mean your husband, your kids, your friends, your relatives don't like it. And then if they do, they're going to say, you know what? You need to go see Stavros at East Tank Nissan because he helped us buy our Toyota and he didn't even have to, but he did the right thing and gave us good, solid advice. And I build that relationship and then they come back anyway.
So Stavros, I'm a firm believer that basically everything is sales, and I don't mean that cynically. I mean you've got to sell yourself no matter what career you're in. There's an aspect of sales with it. I mean, and so what you're trying to do is revolutionary for your industry, but it's got its practical application for every single industry. I mean, when you watch movies about sales, I mean, if you you know, those movies, you know, Boiler Room and those kind of things. I mean, the movie, they're funny and they're like sell, sell, sell. But what you're talking about is a different approach to sales that I think could apply to any industry. What do you think it is? Do you think people, well, go ahead.
It could apply to any, it even could apply to just life in general. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, the funny thing is, me sitting there telling you all the time, hey, when are you getting me on that podcast? Hey, I'm waiting. Hey, I'm here. That's a sale.
A sale. You did, man. You closed.
Come to me so we can go ahead and do this. Sales applies to every aspect mm-hmm. of your life. Mm-hmm. It applies to your relationship with your spouse. It applies to your relationship with family. It applies to where you're going to get gas. It applies to where you're going to go eat. Every single thing you do every day is a sale.
You're right. 100%.
You have the concept. And the concept of being honest and building a relationship and working hand in hand with someone to do it, that's the best part. For example, my wife loves Papa John's. Loves Papa John's.
Right.
They have been in her. I can't say, hey, honey, let's go to Pizza Hut. She's like, no, I don't like Pizza Hut. I like Papa John's. I like what they've done. I like the flavors they do. I like what they do. So she sold me on loving Papa John's. So this house eats Papa John's. That's all it does.
I got you. You know,
I used to be a person that would only like to do Starbucks in the morning. I went to Starbucks. I used to walk in. I used to have my app. I used to have my stars. I used to go in, scan my app, get my coffee, and go. And I thought that was the best thing. But then I found like these local coffee shops, like mm-hmm. for example, Pete's Coffee in Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
Great store, great environment. You walk in, they say, how about you can go through and try this? Well, we got this new flavor. And they built that relationship. And then that's why when I was in Virginia, I used them to host all of my meetings. I used their coffee because we built the relationship. So back to your question, sales applies to every aspect of your life. Even getting up and getting dressed in the morning. Mm-hmm. Am I going to look better for the presentation in the suit, or am I going to look better for the presentation in my sweater and a button-up? A little different.
I think I probably showed you some pictures from about 7-8 years ago when I was curly-haired and a mess. I really was. And I remember one guy telling me, I was having coffee with him, and he said, Gordon, I would describe your style as disheveled casual. And I thought, that's not a good, I don't think I've made a great reputation here if my image is disheveled casual, and I'll never forget it. And it still took me a while to clean it up. But you're right. I mean, everything we do is sales. We can either do it with integrity and, you know, genuinely want to love and care and serve others, or we wind up becoming, you know, the stereotype. You know, listen, go back to the quarantine. You know, when we were locked down, very few people said, I really got to go to spend some money at Starbucks to make sure they stay open. But a lot of people said, you know what, I need to go to Pete's, or I need to go to 2530 or Italian Station, you know, because you love those people. And again, I love the baristas at Starbucks. There's ones here that I really care about, but the local owned who've invested in the community, who are mom and pop or locally owned, yeah, they make a difference. And their environment, their approach is sales. You know, it's funny when you listen to, you know, sales experts, whoever they may be, Cardone or any of those guys, they'll tell you, they say the best salesperson in the world is a child. A child doesn't care how much money's in the bank. A child doesn't care, you know, where there's snow outside. The child's like, I want this. And they're relentless. And you know why you do it? Because you love them. You're like, I love this kid. You know, every now and then it's because you're just absolutely done. Like, please just don't ask me again. But, Amy and I were out yesterday. We went for a walk, and one of the girls like, are you bringing coffee home? And genuinely, the rule is, if you don't go for a walk with us, you don't get coffee. You know, I mean, like, if you want the coffee, you got it. We're going to go for a 3-mile walk downtown. And we were in one of those sentimental parent moments, was like, you know what, in a couple of years, we're going to be begging and wishing that our girls were here to say, hey, can you bring me some coffee home? So, like, all right, I'm bringing it home.
But let's just be honest. For you, the sale also was, we get to go have coffee, like, whether it goes to a tie-in station or the local coffee. You're like, I can go get that coffee, and, you know, I'll bring her one back. But I can really go get that coffee right now because I've earned it for that 3-mile walk.
That's exactly right, man. That's exactly right.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, so, Starbucks, you've done something that a lot of people wouldn't take the challenge on. And that's to take on a business that has a poor reputation and then trying to change that reputation simultaneously where it's got to make a profit. So you're not working with a 501 here. This is not a nonprofit, it's not UNICEF, it's not Red Cross. Like, you're going into the most stereotypical capitalistic driven industry with a bad reputation. It's gotta make money, probably for the sake of your career. And yep. You're gonna change the reputation. Like, why the risk? You could have pulled it out of its doldrums without taking the risk, probably. Why take the risk?
Well, there's a lot of different thought processes that people will go through on why take the risk and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, for me, it's truly more rewarding to get that friendship and relationship and build a good foundation and have people say, you know what? I trust that guy. Mm-hmm. That to me is more important than the sale. So for me, the store that I just took over in Tennessee, there was bad reputations. We had banks that didn't want to do business and still don't. But we had taken our time and we were slowly, slowly making headways in this community. And you can't just be the business that's just going to go through and say, all right, here's a check for $15,000. I did my part. Have a nice day. Because honestly, any dealership can go through and write a check for $10,000 to $15,000 and say, here you go. I did a good thing. That doesn't go far. But what does go far is, hey, let's go ahead and do a food drive. Let's go see what we can go through and do to help end homelessness. And let's get the community involved. We'll do it together and we'll see what the outcome is. Mm-hmm. And we did one in November and we actually raised 9,000 pounds of food to give back to a company called The Daily Bread that helps feed the homeless every day. 9,000 pounds. That's not something that just comes overnight. It was 30 days. It was marketing. It was Facebook Lives and saying, hey, we need your help and I'm going to participate with you and we're going to put in the time and effort to go through and make a difference and let's go through and do it together. And I've had more people say, you know what? I'm coming to you because of what you're doing in the community. And to me, that's the most ultimate reward. When people, I used to say, and I still do to this day, I said, if you leave a community and you're missed, then you've made an impact. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you leave a community and you're not missed, then what were you there for in the first place?
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry.
So my thought is, if I can make an impression in a community where that if I'm not going to be there anymore, they're going to miss me, I've done my job. Because they know I'm a pillar in the community. They know I'm always honest. They know I'm always upright. I'm always giving back. I'm always supporting local nonprofits. I'm always supporting local businesses. And you're going to miss me if I'm not here. Then I know I've done my job. I'm successful at that point.
Yeah, there's a, what's the name of that book? Give me a moment on it. It'll come to me. But the concept behind it was one that when we planted our two churches that we very much held out, that the idea that if a church were ever to leave, you would want the community to say, whether they attended the church or not, oh no, what are we going to do now? You know, that's the kind of impact. And it's not easy. It's not hard. It's not always quote unquote successful, but the idea is it should benefit the community. And that definitively can apply to any business, any place of life, any institution. Like, does your local community, or do they benefit by you being there apart from what you actually are doing aside from your industry? Like, are you just benefiting them? You know, it's just harder. I mean, the sale, you know, just to sell, I mean, make money is hard enough, but I mean, just to sell and do it. And it's just easier to not worry about that, Stavros. When you get weary and tired, apart from the things that are required of you, in your job, how do you keep doing that? How do you keep that approach?
There's always a life that you can impact on the other side. I help people buy the second most expensive thing they're ever going to do next to a house, right? I know that me selling a car is not just selling a car. Me selling a car is I'm providing someone the ability to commute to work, to make a paycheck, to support their family. I'm providing a family a vehicle that's safe, that can go through and take their parents to doctors, to health visits and stuff like that. So while the thrill of the sale is very big, I mean, I love it. Trust me, I get excited when I sell a car. It's fun. I mean, there's a whole energy to it. It's like you won a prize because every transaction is different. But when you're tired of going through the inventory, when you're tired of buying cars, when you're tired of doing the applications, when you're tired of doing everything, and you have someone comes up and says, thank you for taking care of me and my family and helping us get in this car. This means the world to us. That right there is enough to give you more energy to last for another 2 months. Yeah. You don't get those. You don't. But so, when they do come, they're fantastic.
Well, and those are the memories and the moments that you got to remind yourself on. You got to, on the days where it's just too difficult to do it, you got to remind yourself 2-3 days ago, we did that. The book I was mentioning earlier was Irresistible Influence. And that's the idea. Like your influence in the community is so great that it's irresistible. Like people are thankful, and it's a church concept, but I think it's very much the way you've approached doing your career. I know that's what we try to do at Capitalize as best we can. Like, are we serving people? And what we're offering them is actually benefiting them. And if so, then we know that when we put our head down our pillow at night, that we don't have a guilty conscience about the work we had to do that day. Giving ultimately instead of being takers. So Stavros, if you had a chance, and I'm sure you get these, let's say you had a chance to speak to some young salespeople, automotive, whatever the case may be, it could be outside of it, and you had to boil down this approach maybe to like 2 or 3 points. And so you're in the crowd and I'm like, hey, Stavros, I need you to just come out here and speak to all these young guys and gals out here. What 2 or 3 points along these lines would you give them?
First, the only thing, well, there are a couple things. The first thing I would always say is, first, become a friend. Understand who you're talking to. Build the relationship. Find common ground. Right? That's your first step, because if you're going to go into the sales field, they're going to buy a car from you for 3 reasons. One is because they like you. One is because they know you. And one is because they trust you. If they don't like you, they're never going to trust you. Mm-hmm. If they like you a little bit, but they don't really know you, they're not going to trust you to buy a car. If they like you and they get to know you, then they're going to have the ability to trust you at the end of the day. So the first thing I'll say is become a friend. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing I would say is never compromise yourself and always be 100% direct and honest. Don't try to shortcut it. Don't try to skip a step here or skip a step there. Always be honest, right? Because when you're honest and you're honest with intent, your integrity will follow you and you will always be successful. So first one, become a friend. Second one, always be honest. And the third one, I really believe that you need to have fun in what you do. If selling cars is not fun to you, then you'll never be successful. If selling timeshare is not fun to you, you'll never be successful. You got to find something that to you gives you, it makes it so that work is not work. Mm-hmm. Work is fun.
Right.
Work is just an activity we get to do. When work becomes a job and nothing more than a job, and it's you're going through the motions, you'll lose interest really fast and you'll never be your best. So always find the job that you're truly going to have fun with. So become a friend,
love it.
Be honest, and make sure you love what you do. Those would be the 3 key things. That'll be successful for you if you can do those 3 things.
Good stuff, man. Well, Stavros, it is, I'm going to step away because Amy has got lunch made for me. And so I'm not going to leave that on the table hot and warm. And it's also Super Bowl Sunday. So this is going to air when the Super Bowl is done. So here's your chance. Here's your shot. Predict the winner and the score, Stavros. Chiefs, Buccaneers.
I know a lot of people are not going to like it, probably including my wife, but the Bucks are going to win. Okay. Tom Brady is going to win the seventh Super Bowl. He's going to be the MVP, and they're going to win with a score of 35-31.
35-31. I will definitely tell Vince, who is from Kansas City, who Chiefs are his absolute favorite team. And so it's really hard until he is retired to bet against Brady. Like, you can dislike him all you want, and I can understand that. It's really hard to bet against the guy. He took the Buccaneers to the Super Bowl. I don't know. It's really hard. So,
in his first year, yep, he really did. He is a person. You know, I've watched today, just really quick. I've watched today a bunch of interviews and stuff like that. They're interviewing all the players to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know, the funny thing is, he said in his interview, "I feel like I'm 25 and still playing because I'm just having fun."
That's it, man. That's it.
This guy's 43 years old and playing in his 10th Super Bowl. He's been through countless number of tackles, countless injuries. The world has been against him, but he says, "I'm still playing because I'm having fun." So if he has to be successful at 40 years of age, I need to have fun doing what I do too.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, he's the most disciplined person ever. His diet, but it's fun to him. LeBron James is a lot like him. Those dudes are insanely disciplined. That's why they're insanely talented at their age. And, well, listen, I appreciate you giving me your prediction. And I also appreciate you coming on. So next time we do need to get Dorothy on here. I would love to get her feedback on all this as well. But Stavros, you and Dorothy are dear friends. I love you to death, man. And I'm looking forward when we're looking at each other, not through a computer screen. All right, dude?
Absolutely. And we love you too. And I'll make sure I get my wife, Dorothy, come on here so she can bless us with her laugh. She always does.
Well, I don't know how she's holding it in. So, all right, man, I'm going to buzz off here, buzz out. We will see you guys. And is she saying something to you?
No, she's okay. Just laughing.
All right. Bye, Dorothy. Stavros, we'll talk to you later. See you, man.
Bye,
see guys. See ya.